Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. The Crammy Community Association is not exactly a high-profile citizens group, yet for many years, Grit Cole and her husband, Ernie, have attended council meetings, written letters, organized residents, and lobbied hard in an effort to hold politicians in her area to account. But don't let that name of the group fool you. Grit is not just active in Crammy, but also does her activist work in Alnwick-Haldimand and Brighton, as her website attests. With me in studio to talk about some of the pressing issues she and others are working on within East Northumberland is Grit Cole. Welcome to Consider This, Grit.
Well, thank you very much, Rob Washburn, for having me in.
I promise listeners on this show that it was going to be about money and drugs. So let's not disappoint and let's get right into your efforts to lobby Crammy Township Council around the proposed medical cannabis plant, Sharpshooter, which I believe started about a year ago. Can you tell us about those efforts?
Well, it's actually 2 years ago. It was February 6, 2018 that Sharpshooter first came before council, and it wasn't even an actual presentation or delegation. They had just submitted a letter to the township requesting support for a proposal for a CPF in, or cannabis production facility, in Lakeport.
Now at that time, what was it they were looking for? My understanding is they were looking for some kind of support for the overall project. There was not a site plan, it was not something formal, it was just something to council to be supportive. Is that correct?
Correct. And it was simply a letter of support for them to go ahead to purchase the property, the 4-acre parcel of land. Problem was that council really was not up to speed on the legalization of cannabis. In fact, they really didn't know anything about cannabis production facilities, and their own official plan and zoning bylaws didn't even have a listed use for cannabis production.
But those were early days in all of that. I mean, there was a lot of municipalities were facing that same issue. There was a legalization process going on, and a lot of them really hadn't thought through just exactly these grow operations that were for medicinal use. I know we have one here in Coburg that is same idea. So it's
FB
not
Pharma.
Unusual. Yeah.
And they're doing great. They actually have shares out on the market now. So hats off to them for doing it the right way.
Absolutely. But I guess the thing is, it's not surprising that a council might be caught a little bit on their flat-footed when this kind of thing comes forward. But my understanding is that with the new council, there had been this letter of support or this motion of support for the Sharpshooter. But then during the last municipal election, it was part of the issues. Where did your group stand on this issue going into the elections of 2019?
2018?
Yes, did I say 2019?
That's 2018. Okay, 2018.
Yep.
Well, we've stood fast. I was actually lobbying this particular project right from the get-go in February 2018 for a year. And then in January of 2019, residents from Alnwick-Haldimand side of the hamlet of Lakeport, which is the majority of the residents that are affected by this particular operation, came forward to Crammy Council with a letter. From there, we got together and we started our path forward, and we formed Defend Lakeport, and they appointed me as the official spokesperson because I've been following it for a whole year. So we have never wavered from the fact that there should not be this type of a facility in the Lakeport region. It is not an industrial zone. It is a hamlet of residential homes with one parcel of land that happens to be zoned industrial, general industrial. Once again, in official plans, it states for councils to be sure that they do adequate and comprehensive research, investigation of any new proposals coming forward. So never mind just a new proposal for a business. This was a whole new industry. So to just blindly go forward and say, oh yes, let's allow this. They didn't take into consideration any of the setbacks in that actual location. For example, there are no municipal services down there. So there's no water, there's no sewers. And with cannabis production, I'm sure that a lot of people don't realize how much water cannabis takes to grow. In fact, one plant uses 22 liters of water a day, and you compare that to a tomato plant, which uses 3.78 liters of water a day. So it's a huge difference in the amount of water required for cannabis, which, by the way, is a weed. It is not an agricultural product that feeds people or animals. It's a weed. It takes huge amounts of water, which they don't have in Lakeport. And the biggest concern for the residents is A, water and their wells, because they have had problems with water in the past, particularly in drought times where their wells go dry. And there's also the Colburn Creek that runs right beside it, the plant, which has a pipe running into the creek from the plant. There's so many pesticides, fertilizers, whatever, used in cannabis production as well. So there's the concern about that going into the water stream, and it's an environmentally protected area by the Lower Trent Conservation Authority that this plant sits on.
So let's just step back a little bit and unpack some of what you've said, because I think a lot of it's really important. First of all, for listeners who aren't familiar with this particular part of the county, Lakeport is a small hamlet that's almost right on Lake Ontario. And it sits right on the border between Cramie Township and Alnwick-Haldimand.
Well, in fact, it used to be a port.
Yeah.
Back in the late 1800s.
So in terms of location, just so that we know, but one of the things that makes this particularly contentious is that there's two municipalities that play into it. In fact, the property itself straddles both municipalities. Am I correct in that?
You are correct. And in fact, the real issue comes here and where we really believe that Cramie Council let residents down, let taxpayers down, is that the majority of the residents live on the Alnwick-Haldimand side of that border. This piece of land that is subdivided by, it's one-third of the parcel of land is in Alnwick-Haldimand, two-thirds is in Cramie. The factory sits on the portion of the parcel that's two-thirds in Cramie.
Yeah, but it has been zoned industrial and has been for a very long time. I think it's had many uses. At one point, I believe they made brake pads.
Well, that was a really contentious one, too, because back in 2016, in the spring of 2016, we were lobbying against the expansion or replacement of the small bore sewer system in Cramie because of the cost to users when they'd only put that system in 14 years prior. And I was talking to former CAO Craig Brooks, and I asked him, so where is the demand for the increased capacity for the sewers? Because they don't have the capacity at the wastewater treatment plant in the first place, so that was the biggest issue. But he says, oh, we've got companies lined up waiting to come in. And in fact, we've got one coming into the Lakeport site. I said, oh, who's coming in? He immediately clammed up and he said, oh, well, it doesn't matter because they're not going to be coming for about 6 months anyways. So he wouldn't tell me. When that company moved in, there was no sign put up, no name of a company. And people started to knock the residents when they complained, said, well, why didn't you complain about this and that? Well, nobody knew who to complain to. But it eventually went to the Ministry of the Environment because of dumping. And then it ended up, the Ministry of the Environment called in the Ministry of Labor. That company is no longer there. So if that's the kind of companies they're going to allow and try to just sandwich anybody in because it happens to be zoned industrial. We understand they don't want to lose their industrial zones. This is not an industrial zone. It's one property in a residential hamlet.
So the mayor of Cramie has been pretty clear on her position on this particular land. And she says, you know, they're open for business. They're interested in business. And there has not been a site plan put forward. So this is all just a hypothetical discussion until a slight plan comes forward, and the fact that these facilities, these cannabis production facilities, are regulated by the federal government. So they make sure that, you know, smells and odors are looked after, all the concerns that people have around effluent and having the proper infrastructure to do it are there. So she seems pretty assured that that's the right path to take. How do you respond when she talks like that?
I have a lot of respect for Mandy Martin. She and I go back when we were both doing reporting and working together. And actually, she was a mentor for me because I'm strictly an amateur when it comes to that. And she was very helpful. And I understand exactly where she's coming from. And yes, there is no site plan that has been brought forward yet, or anything has been brought forward yet. And in fact, the company went ahead and did a bunch of things without any approvals, which was not a good thing. The problem is that they went ahead and grandfathered their supposed support for the idea of this cannabis plant. Meanwhile, they really didn't research anything or understand what was coming in there. That's the big bone of contention. Furthermore, they completely alienated, left out Alnwick-Haldimand Township and the residents that live there. There's approximately 70 residences in Lakeport. Most of them are in Alnwick-Haldimand.
But really, isn't it an academic discussion? I mean, why should taxpayer resources be going to something that's at this point theoretical? I mean, the site plan is the thing where everybody gets down to the nuts and bolts of it.
Because the residents are concerned that going forward, because they said yes to Sharpshooter, what if Sharpshooter decides to sell that property? They do not want that grandfathered clause to be carried forward. The site is inappropriate. We don't believe that Health Canada would support it anyways, because it doesn't have any municipal services. Most of these facilities, they are in industrial use. They are not in agricultural use.
So why then the constant pressure on the council then? If you don't think Health Canada is going to approve it, there is no site plan, why not just let it drop?
Hey, if people let things drop, guess what happens? And so we don't let things drop because the residents don't want to let it drop, although we are sitting back a little bit, but right now, CRAMI is in the process of developing its bylaws and updating its official plan with amendments to include cannabis production in the township.
That's a perfect segue to what I wanted to talk to you about next, which was when I interviewed Mandy Martin a couple of weeks ago on the show. She talked about her crusade to get under control these grow operations that are popping up all over the place. And my understanding and the way she explained it was, is that people who get medical cannabis are allowed to grow for themselves, for their own use, a certain number of plants. So if I'm taking cannabis for a particular condition, I might be allowed to grow two plants. And maybe you're taking it for another condition, you get to grow six plants. Well, it's her understanding, and she explained it on the show, that somebody's going around collecting these and then turning around and saying, I'll grow all of your marijuana for you and I'll deliver it just for you. Sort of a boutique grower operation, I guess. Anyway, these are popping up all over rural municipalities, all over the province, and she's decided that she's going to take this on full bore. What is the stance of your organization in relationship to her efforts to try and to bring this under control? Because I understand that there's buildings that are not inhabited. They're just being used for grow ops. They're fenced in. There's guard dogs.
Guns.
There's smell. There's all kinds of things going on with these. What's your group's stance in relation to these operations?
We 100% support the efforts of Mandy Martin. It was actually residents up in the Lake Road area that we got in contact with. They reached out to us at one point, frustrated beyond all end, and having gone to council and saying, there's this going on, we've got plastic growing, blowing all over the properties, the smell is horrendous, there's guard dogs, there's guns, and the township wasn't doing anything. So I wrote an email to council, and I said, it is appalling when this township doesn't even go after something that is illegal. Well, they took it upon themselves to put the money into the legal going after this grow up, and they got rid of it. It's gone. So 100% support it. But I'd really like to take 2 minutes, if I can, to explain the difference between medical certificates and licensed producers, because it's different. Medical certificates are not licenses to produce. They are, so let's say Rob Washburn goes to his doctor because he's got severe chronic pain. His doctor gives him a prescription. He needs, I'm not even going to use grams, but I'm okay, 30 grams a day, which is high from what I gather, very. So he takes that, sends it to Health Canada. Health Canada looks at what the requirements are for the day, issue for a day per day, and issues a medical certificate stating how many plants they may grow. Unfortunately, and this is where the federal government has not done a good enough job with the legislation in the Cannabis Act, and particularly under the ACMPR section, which is section 14 of the cannabis regulations, if anyone wants to go and look. The person that gets that certificate, they have to tell Health Canada whether they are going to grow it themselves personally or whether they are going to have a third party grow for them. Their name must be on that certificate, but there is only one address on the certificate, and that is where that cannabis will be grown. Not anywhere else. So it can't have the home address and then it's being grown somewhere else. That's not how it's done. Anybody that takes on growing for one of these medical certificates can only grow for up to 4 certificates, period. 4, that's it. However, those certificates can have 200, 300 plants on one, so it's a big deal. Then that grower is growing for that one person only. They can't sell any of that product anywhere. If they do, they're breaking the law.
And this is what is behind in the background, as we've already talked about. This is what's behind these pop-ups that
exactly.
People are coming along. They're buying a piece of rural property, a home, a barn, a field, whatever, and then they're creating these operations. Now, I guess the question becomes one of, when you started to talk about this, you were saying that the municipality is behind the curb. How much, as a taxpayer, are you prepared to support council in terms of lawsuits, in terms of enforcement? I mean, if this causes the budget to go up and taxes to go up, is it worth it in your municipality to get this under control?
There's no doubt that funding needs to be there to support this. However, I believe that funding needs to come from the federal government down, because they're the ones that put through the legalization, and they're the ones that put through the legalization in not a very well planned, laid out approach. Municipalities were left to fend for themselves. I'm actually on the side of the municipalities in this. And for them to have, particularly in the small ones, for them to have the financial and physical and human resources to even go after it, it's a really big deal. If we have to pay more, clearly we're going to have to, regardless of where it comes from. But if it's coming from federal funding, it's spread out amongst a much larger pool. Would I be willing as a taxpayer in my municipality, in my township of Alnwick-Haldimand, to pay a little more for it? Yeah, I would. But I don't think we'll have to, because guess what? Alnwick-Haldimand has already passed their zoning bylaw amendment for cannabis. They have designated it. Anything, cultivation, production, processing, as a industrial use, and it can only be in industrial zones. So they're not allowing it in the rural zones anywhere. And that's got to be including overall in the long term, the medical production, or based on medical certificates. When I had conversations with Health Canada, their goal is not to have medical certificates. Their goal is to have that person with their prescription to go directly to a licensed producer like FV Pharma here in Cobourg. And they produce based on that prescription for them. The other thing that's important is that medical certificate or prescription must be renewed every year. That's not the same with a license.
So it would be almost like our own system for a pharmacy when we get a prescription from a doctor. Same idea.
Exactly.
Going to a pharmacy, you get your drugs, so you would go to a particular type of distribution point.
You go to a controlled place.
And you go there and they get it, and there's no no growing involved. Somebody else does it.
Residences aren't suited to growing cannabis. You know, four plants per residence, not per person. Per residence is all that's permitted.
So we'll watch with great interest as this goes forward. I understand on January 28th there was a big meeting that they started to introduce some of these bylaw changes. Have they been passed by council yet?
No, and I'm in the process of writing right now to Crammy Council, and I'm finishing it up today because there's another meeting coming up and the agenda's not out yet, so I don't know if they're bringing forward the bylaw for approval or not. But Crammy's trying to allow it in rural areas and in agricultural zones. Mind you, in the agricultural, they're saying micro-cultivation only, which is 200 cubic meters allowed, that's all. So, but still, it makes no sense for Crammy to be putting it in rural and agricultural areas if they've been going after these grow-ups in the first place.
Your position then is to do something like Alnwick Haldimand has done and just stick it into industrial areas.
Right. Brighton has done the same thing.
Okay.
They've put it so that it has to be where full municipal services are available. So wherever there's full water and sewer, they can put them in because you need that to run these operations. And they prefer them to be in the industrial zones, not near the residential zones. It's important.
Absolutely. And we'll see how it plays out over the next weeks and months. Another issue that's come up most recently with in Crammy Township has been the Ahmadi Cemetery. This is a Bowmanville-based group of Muslims who are looking to create a cemetery on Lake Road in Crammy Township. Why were there so many people opposed to it, including yourself and your group?
Okay. When that first came out, what caused a real furor was the news release that went up on Crammy's website that said Muslim cemetery proposed for Crammy. Well, you know, we all don't want to say that there's racism and bigotry, but we know that that exists. And unfortunately, that seemed to be an underlying theme that came out first. So I thought, no, this isn't the way to approach this. This has nothing to do with any particular religion. This is a massive cemetery proposal, way beyond the size of what would even fit in Crammy, and it's prime agricultural land. Makes no sense to put an institutional use, which permanently removes arable land from the inventory.
But my understanding was, and during their presentation at council, they argued that they bought that land before it was, that under the understanding that it was, did have the land use to have it transferred into to be used as a cemetery.
Well, and now we come to the real process. And we got in early enough on this, going after it from a land use perspective with Crammy, lobbying right 2 weeks in advance, submission into the township, you know, bringing to point the forefront that their official plan states, again, that there must be adequate and comprehensive research investigation into any new proposal. This is a new proposal. It was for 43 acres of land, prime agricultural land, 50,000, possible 50,000 burial plots. In all of Crammy, there's 12 cemeteries plus two that are unmarked. Well over two centuries, going on three centuries, there's less than 10,000 people buried in Crammy. So where does a big proposal like, you know, up to 50,000 potential burial plots?
Is that really the point? First of all, is the land currently under use?
Yes. So it's farmed every year.
What is it farmed for?
Beans and hay is what it was. So it's feeding local. One of the local farmers says, If it's not grown there, I have to buy my hay somewhere else for my animals. So,
but I mean, let's be candid. I mean, if they bought it under the understanding that this is what the zoning was, and they did their own due diligence, and then the township comes along and says, no, the province has dropped. You know, we can't lose any prime agricultural land. I mean, that's you know, they've bait and switch here to some extent. Finish for a second. Why isn't there more empathy to this project? I go back to your earlier point. If this was a group of Anglicans or some Presbyterians, wouldn't there be a little softer approach instead of this hard line, a bunch of people writing these letters saying, banging the table, this is prime agricultural land. Over in Hope Township, there's a farmer who just lost prime agricultural land in the south end of his property for a solar farm. And he fought it and fought it and fought it. And, oh, no, we'll let this go ahead. Even though it was growing crops, it was prime agricultural. It just seems...
I don't know.
The water seems a bit tainted, but maybe I'm wrong.
I would have to disagree with you because the problem here is that there was one word in the zoning bylaw, and I've actually written to Alma Caldeman because they have the same one word in their agricultural uses in their zoning bylaw, cemetery. In the official plan, there's no mention of cemeteries as to where they should go. The provincial policy statement and the provincial OP and the county OP does not permit cemeteries on agriculture as an agricultural use because it's not. You're not growing anything. You're removing it. In this case, it's too big of a project. And while you say that they did their due diligence, yes, they did their due diligence. Neuer at the January 28th meeting stood up and addressed council, a very nice man. And he said, we've been looking since, I believe it was 2003, they've been looking for land, or 2006, going way back, they've been looking for land. So they finally found a place where maybe they could sneak this through because it said it. And they argued hard, even against people bringing forward the facts.
They didn't say sneak. They didn't sneak.
Well, they didn't sneak. Okay, let's say not sneak. They were hoping.
Okay.
How about they were hopeful for it to come through? Is that better?
Yeah.
And... The reality is that this is not the right use and that Crammy really needs to back that out, make a minor amendment to get that word cemetery out because there's nothing in their official plan to support it either. And then they need to really look at the land use policies for it.
The Crammy Community Association, how many members are in it?
We aren't a Crammy Community Association. We try to rebrand, but because of Facebook, we can't change the name of the Facebook page. So it's remained that way, but it's really Alma Caldeman, Brighton, Crammy. We're activists. We advocate for fair treatment.
How many members, though?
We don't have members. Ernie and I pay for this 100% ourselves.
It's just you guys.
In the beginning, we had over 68 members, but that was all about train whistle cessation. It's the two of us.
Yeah.
Well, I get people to help out. They help with some research and stuff, but we do this all for free. And it's because we care. And we lobby after things. It's not that we're going after money. It's not that we're going after any support. We don't even go out there and advertise or anything like that. It's whether
all
people
right.
choose to follow.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, last week I had over 4,000 people following. This week over 1,000 people following. So it depends.
Well, listen, Grit, I thank you so much for coming in. It's been a delightful conversation, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. If you have any suggestions about guests you would like to hear on the show, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com with your ideas. If you'd like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcast news and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen in. And I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.